Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. John 3 and verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now Jesus here was teaching Nicodemus regarding the new birth when he emphasized something that must be done. He, Christ, must be lifted up. Jesus referred back to an Old Testament event that is recorded for us in Numbers chapter 21. Israel was in the wilderness and began to murmur and complain against God and Moses. The scripture says the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died, in Numbers 21 and verse 6. The people acknowledged their sin and asked Moses to intercede for them and to ask God to remove the serpents. The Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Numbers 21 and verse 8. By the lifting up of the serpent, God saved the people from the destruction when they looked at it. And in a similar way, God saves man spiritually by the lifting up of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us consider the ways Jesus was lifted up and ways that we can lift him up now. At the urging of the Jewish leaders, the mob called for the crucifixion of Christ. The soldiers took him and nailed him to the cross. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, the malefactors, the one on the right hand and the other on the left, Luke 23:33. While we recognize that God gave his only begotten Son, both Jews and Gentiles were involved in the actual crucifixion, and we must never forget that Christ submitted voluntarily. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. John 10, verses 17 and 18. He willingly gave his life for our sins. Galatians 1 and verse 4. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Ephesians 5 and verse 25. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Matthew 20 and verse 28. And why did he allow himself to be crucified? He did it because man was in sin and could not redeem himself. It was a manifestation of the love of God, John 3:16. 1 John 4:10 says, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Love has a tremendous drawing power. Love for others causes one to return that love. Proverbs 8 and verse 17, I love them that love me. And the greatest proof of love is that which Jesus did. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends, John 15 and verse 13. But friend, Christ even died for his enemies. Paul said, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5, 6 through 8. Yes, Jesus was lifted up on the cross, and that was nearly 2,000 years ago. And although Jesus died and was buried, on the third day, even as he said, he was raised from the dead. He did not remain in the tomb where his body had been laid. In Acts 2 and verse 24, we read, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pangs of death. There would be no power or hope in a dead Savior. Christianity does not present to the world a dead Savior, but a living Lord. Now, other religions can show the sepulchres of their founders, but the Christian has no tomb of the one he serves. By the resurrection, he was declared to be the Son of God, Romans 1 and verse 4. Friend, if Jesus had remained in the tomb, then the devil and his forces would have triumphed over God. How could Jesus offer eternal life to anyone if he himself remained in the tomb? The resurrection was one of the sure evidences of the deity of Christ. It is at the very basis of Christianity. You remove that truth, Jesus the Son of God, and you have essentially destroyed the authority of Christ as the Son of God. The evidence of his resurrection is very abundant. That's another subject in which this particular study will not undertake. But he was lifted up from the tomb. Christ told his apostles that he was going to prepare a place for them. In Acts chapter 1, he records his ascension. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Lifting up Christ on the cross, lifting up Christ from the tomb, lifting up Christ into heaven, it provides for man God's way of salvation by his Son, Jesus Christ. And without these events, there is no provision for our forgiveness or hope of our eternal life. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. But there are other ways that Christ must be lifted up. Paul wrote, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Galatians 3 and verse 1. My dear listening friend, Paul lifted up Christ to those people. Similarly did he preach in Corinth, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Gentiles foolishness, 1 Corinthians 1:23. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 2 he said, For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And again, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, which we preach. Colossians 1, 27 and 28. In Athens, Paul preached Jesus, Acts 17, 18. And this is the message that men must hear. This is that they must heed if they ever know the joy of salvation. Paul said, For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. We lift up Christ by telling the world about him. In 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 26, For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink the cup, ye proclaim or show forth the Lord's death till he come. When the saints gather together to partake of this memorial feast, the very observance of it is a proclamation of Christ. Christ is lifted up every time we eat the bread and drink the cup in memory of him. We are announcing to the world that Christ was with God, that he became flesh, that he lived a perfect life, that he was betrayed and tried and crucified and buried, but raised from the dead into heaven, and that he will come again. That's what the Lord's Supper proclaims. We're proclaiming him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This simple but very solemn ritual is another way of lifting up Christ. But Christ also left us an example that we should follow in his steps, 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. God is pleased with us when we do well. He's pleased with us when we follow his will, Matthew 7, 21. He is pleased when we are not hearers only, but doers of the word, James 1 and verse 22. We're to let our light shine so that others will see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven, Matthew 5 and verse 16. We're not to curse and lie and steal and murder and commit adultery, because that would not be Christ-like. We're to praise God, serve others, obey His commands, respect our parents, help the needy, such things as that, because that is Christ-like. In Acts 10 and verse 38, we read that Jesus went about doing good, and so should we. And in so doing, we're upholding Christ. We're lifting Him up. Now, we had nothing to do with lifting Him up on the cross. We had nothing to do with lifting Him up from the tomb. We had nothing to do with lifting Him up into heaven. But we can busy ourselves lifting Him up by preaching Christ, worshiping Him, living for Him, and as surely it was necessary for Christ to be lifted up the first three ways for us to be saved, it is also true He must be lifted up in the last three ways for us to partake of the benefits God offers us through Him. May God help us to be busy at the task of lifting up Christ. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.